Hi, good evening. Welcome to another Wednesdays of Bliner. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you're all managing to stay safe, stay healthy, both mentally and physically. I know some people in the fellowship have found this last week tough, so continue to pray for all of us, really. I know this is dragging on a bit now. But let's continue to encourage each other, continue to pray for the ongoing witness of the church as we put it all online. It's not the same, I know, but let's continue to pray for that. For the junior teens and the toddler time videos that go forth, Mike is still getting between 20 and 30 views every Friday night. Toddler time, the feedback from the mothers is very appreciative, just that it gives them something to do with the children, and it's a witness to them. We're still getting a lot more people viewing and listening to our Sunday messages and Wednesday messages than we would ever get meeting together. But most churches are saying that they're seeing those numbers drop a little bit now. I guess the novelty's worn off. But let's just continue to pray for that witness. And let's pray that as we look towards coming back together, that we'd be able to continue that witness. I'm hoping that we continue to have an online presence, even when we're back together and able to meet together live. With that in mind, I did mention last Wednesday to those who joined into our conference call that I've got thoughts about some things that we can do, outreach things that we can do as a on Zoom in a conference setting, and I'm going to be trying one or two of those things out in an informal way with the members of the church over the next week or two, probably the week after next now, I would think, because I'm looking into how those things work, because it means there is a facility for people to phone in. It means we can video those things and put them straight onto YouTube and everything else. So it's a possibility for the way that we might be able to function going forward when we're back, but it's also an opportunity for the short term. So if you have a computer or a tablet or a smartphone, then please just try and download the Zoom app or get onto their website and just set up an account. It's very easy, just put an email address and a password in and you have an account. As I say, there is a facility with Zoom that you can ring in, so it may be that we can have some people doing it by video conferencing and other people joining in on the phone. I know one or two other churches are doing that. So it gives us a bit more flexibility. It also will mean that we are live. So let's pray for that. Pray for the opportunities that are coming forward. If you're able to get hold of a Zoom account, if you don't already have one, then please do. And it gives us, I'll send details out in the days to come about how we're going to use that. A reminder that next Sunday we're going to be taking communion together again at the end of the service. I just put together a few thoughts this week. I read something online today which made me think along the lines that I'm going to talk about this evening. If you're at our youth club, junior teens, on a Friday night, and you listen to Mike take the register, some of the young people reply here. Some of the young people reply Yma, which is Welsh for here. Some of them reply McDonald's. That's apparently because Mike doesn't like McDonald's. And some of them started saying Fortnite. Now, when I first heard that, I thought, what's this Fortnite? I had to ask the question, why Fortnite? Apparently, it's a video game. It's an online game that is massive at the moment. It's huge. And apparently, it's kind of a battle that's played on a map. I've never seen it. I have no interest in seeing it, to be honest. But it's an online battle that's played on a map. And you can have multiple players. Something significant happened with that game this week, apparently, that on Monday night, the map changed. It's a significant development. Some of the certain features of the map changed. It's such a big development that 20 million people, in fact, over 20 million people, tuned in online to watch the map change. That's a pretty spectacular number, isn't it, for a game? But it's another one of those things that we can watch, and we can think of events in our recent history, you know, from the the Queen's coronation, to Kennedy's assassination, to the Silver Jubilee, to the royal weddings, to many other things that we can think of that we witnessed live because of the various media that, sources that we have these days. Next Thursday, I was due to go up to London to one of my favourite places on earth, and that's Lord's Cricket Ground. I haven't been up there for a few years, actually, but it's just a lovely place to visit, and it's a lovely place to go and watch cricket. There's a sense of history about the place that there's not really quite anywhere else, I think. If you've ever been to Wimbledon, it has a similar feel to that, but it's a really special place to go and visit, and I just love going there whenever I get the chance. But I was supposed to watch England play the West Indies next week in a test match, and it's been rescheduled to be played in July behind closed doors, so no spectators, and in Old Trafford in Manchester. I feel really sorry for the West Indies players, actually, because not only do they have to come from the West Indies to Great Britain in the middle of a coronavirus epidemic, they don't get to play at the best ground in the world, the home of cricket, Lords, and they have to go to Manchester to play. Sorry, apologies to anybody who comes from Manchester, but it's not quite the same, I'm afraid. But the big thing is they have to play behind closed doors. They just have no spectators. This coming week, we have the Premiership football returning, again, with no spectators. Now, millions of people will tune in to watch online, watch live or online, but there'll be no spectators. There'll be no live witnesses to those games. Well, it just reminded me that really, when it came to Jesus, nothing was done behind closed doors. Nothing was in secret. Jesus came and proclaimed his life and his ministry to the world. They were witnesses to his birth. Luke chapter 2 and verse 13 to 16 says this: "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. The angels proclaimed, and the shepherds went and witnessed." And we read that when they witnessed, they went out and they told everybody about it. When they saw with their own eyes what happened, what had happened, they went out and they told people about it. They were witnesses to his life. His whole ministry was played out in public. John 6 and verse 13 to 14, this is after the feeding of the 5,000. We're told this: "So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, 'This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world.' When they saw, when they witnessed, they testified to what they'd seen." They were witnesses to his death. This is Luke 23, verse 48 and 49. "And all the crowds that had assembled for the spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things." There were witnesses. There were people who saw. The people who saw mourned. They were distressed. But they went out and spoke about it. There were witnesses to the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 9. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church." There may not actually have been witnesses to the resurrection itself. There was no one in the cave with Jesus. But soon after, he appeared. He appeared alive. He who was dead appeared alive. And it made a difference. Those people who saw him went out and they told people. Over 500 at one time went out and told people. There is a cloud of witnesses that the book of Hebrews talks to us about. And this is talking about all those saints in Hebrews 11 that throughout history had testified to the life that was to be lived, the witness, that the relationship that there was to be had with God. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. There's a cloud of witnesses that says this race is worth running, so carry on and run it. There'll be witnesses in eternity. Revelation 19 verse 1. After this I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, crying out, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. And Revelation 19:6. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the God Almighty reigns. For those that had run the race, for those that had taken the word of that great cloud of witnesses, and for those who had fixed their eyes on Jesus and followed him, there's a great multitude. They're part of many witnesses who cry and glorify God for all that he's done and all that he is. There are witnesses in the world. Jesus left a witness in the world. He left his arms and his legs, his body, in the world to be a witness. Matthew 28, very familiar words, verses 18 and 19. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And finally, we're called to be witnesses, but we're not called to be spectators. Those who watch sport, cricket or football or whatever other sport, are spectators. Those who make a difference in the ground. It'll be a really strange sense atmosphere playing football or cricket in front of no spectators. But they aren't part of the game. Those who play the game in Fortnite, they may have been witnesses to the action. They may have witnessed the map changing. But they're not spectators. They're participators. They're part of the game. The angels declared, the shepherds saw and then witnessed. Those who saw his miracles went away and talked about it. Those who saw his death mourned. Those who saw him alive went away and told the world. The great cloud of witnesses testified to us that this race that is set before us is worth running. And if we're witnesses to the world, we're not spectators, we are participators. We are part of the action, and we look forward to the day and we'll stand with that great multitude and worship in the presence of the living God, of the Lamb that was slain, and cry, Glory, Holy, Almighty is the Lord God of hosts. The Christian life isn't a spectator sport. It's for participation. We're witnesses, but we're not spectators. I'll finish with these words from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He said this: Your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. Your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. Well, we'll just pray together, and we'll go our separate ways. But let's pray for each other that we continue to be encouraged, that we can continue to be kept. Let's pray for the churches around and about us and the witness of the churches that has gone out. Pray that all those who've heard, and it's many, many, many people, not just from our church, but around the world, who've heard in a time when they've been locked down and uncertain, they've heard the gospel. So pray that God would work through that, and there would be a time of renewal and revival for his church when we're able to come back together. Let's pray together, and then we'll say good night. Lord and Father, be with us. Encourage us, bless us, we pray. Thank you for your word. Make us witnesses, not spectators only. Make us those who testify to the world and those who make unbelievers doubt their lack of faith in you. Father, we pray, keep us safe. Encourage us and bless us, Lord, mentally, physically and spiritually. Pray for the churches that we're in contact with across the heads of the valley in Newport, others further afield. Pray for all the witness and the work that's gone on during this lockdown, that, Lord, people would be challenged and encouraged and spoken to. And, Lord, that you would revive your church. Lord, that in our time, the honour of your name would be increased and glorified. Bless us, Lord, we pray, as we go our separate ways now. Encourage us and bless us, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, take care. Be safe. Hope to see you on Sunday. God bless.